Italian Wine Podcast. Cin cin with Italian wine people.
Italian Wine Podcast, as Wine to Wine 2020 media partner, is proud to present a series of sessions chosen to highlight key themes and ideas and recorded during the two-day event held on November 23rd and 24th, 2020. Wine to Wine 2020 represented the first ever
fully digital edition of the Business to Business Forum. Visit winetowine.net
and make sure to attend future editions of Wine to Wine Business Forum.
I have the pleasure of introducing our next speaker, Dr. Liz Tosh. He's a Master of Wine and Distinguished Professor of Wine and Management at the groundbreaking Wine Business Institute at Sonoma State University in California, teaching in both the undergraduate and graduate wine MBA program. For those of you who have met her, you know that Liz is a tireless educator and researcher. Her expertise, approachability, and enthusiasm for wine have inspired thousands of students to pursue careers in our wonderful industry. She has long been passionate about how we market and sell wines. An author of 8 books, her latest, the award-winning Luxury Wine Marketing, focus on the art and science of luxury wine branding. A fifth-generation Californian, Liz makes her home in Sonoma County, where she and her husband farm a small vineyard. She has witnessed firsthand the struggles of wineries to attract visitors during times of crisis. In her role as an educator, she has the opportunity to research innovative solutions and share new insights that will help guide us all towards success. This year, she has dedicated herself to making COVID-safe visits to as many of her local wineries as possible, both virtually and in person. I think that listening to her, we can get inspiration how to approach the wine tourism when we will be out of this terrible pandemic. Welcome, Liz. We look forward to hearing from you today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Marilisa. It's such a pleasure to be here today and to talk about virtual wine tourism. So I want to cover today a little bit of the foundation of just tourism in general and wine tourism before diving into virtual wine tourism, and then focusing on the growth drivers, the 4 major components, and results to date and next steps. And I also have this picture here of our tour bus in Italy, Travel Design Italy. I took 28 students to Southern Italy in May of 2016. We went to Campania and Puglia and Sicily, and it was so incredible. And before that, we had done Tuscany. And so Italy is near and dear to my heart, and I look forward to the day I get to come back face-to-face. But in the meantime, virtual wine tourism is something that is spreading all over the world, and so we want to talk a little bit about how that came to be, because it's probably not going to go away. I think it's a new thing that will stay with us. So just a little bit of background on tourism in general. You probably are aware that the United Nations World Tourism Organization collects statistics from around the world every year, very impressive, showing that in 2019, there were 1.5 billion tourists, up 4% from 2018, spending $2.9 trillion US dollars. So tourism is super important all over the world, and especially for wine countries. We can see here from this chart, looking at receipts per arrival, that Italy is ranking at level 6 at this point. So very impressive. The other thing about tourism, some of you may recognize that 1 in every 10 jobs in the world is in tourism. So it's very important for our global economy. And in fact, 10% of the world's GDP comes from tourism. But as you can imagine, this year with COVID, that has gone down 70%, with a loss of anywhere from 100 to 100 million jobs at risk. And so this is where global wine tourism can at least support us a little bit until we can get back to normal. So let's talk a little bit about wine tourism then. Just to let you know, there are more than 100 different types of tourism, such things as medical tourism and historical tourism and whiskey tourism and, of course, wine tourism, which we're all interested in. And there has been lots of research on this topic showing that there are many benefits such as increased wine sales when the visitor gets to come to the winery. And now the visitor is visiting the winery virtually, higher margins, jobs for the local community, attracting new consumers, fostering brand loyalty and partnerships throughout the community, the hotels, the restaurants, the tour buses and everything. Everything is linked to wine tourism this way. And many regions do economic impact studies on the importance of wine tourism every few years. They don't do the studies every year because they're expensive, but 2017 is the last time we did this in America, showing 43 million wine tourists come to America every year, producing $17.6 billion in wine-related tourism. Same thing in California, 23.6 million tourists came, generating $7.2 billion. And in Italy, we had the same thing in 2017. One in four tourists come to Italy for wine and food made in Italy, generating 12 billion euros. So you can see how important tourism is all over the world, and especially to wine-producing countries. So let's move on now to virtual tourism and see where that fits into the big picture. So here's tourism in general, traveling for pleasure and relaxation, wine tourism, visiting vineyards, wineries, and wine festivals for recreation, and now we have virtual wine tourism, virtual visitation to vineyards, wineries, and wine events via digital technologies for the purpose of enjoyment and education. And education has been added here because what we find with the virtual is that there is an educational component as well as the pleasure and the enjoyment of tourism. And we see the same kind of benefits with virtual wine tourism, brand awareness, especially revenue generation, if the tourist can be inspired to purchase wine online from the winery website or from a partner online retailer, and brand loyalty over time. So let's take a look at the growth drivers. Obviously, we know COVID is one of them, but there are other drivers that are causing virtual wine tourism to increase around the world. One of these is just technology. If you think about the growth in technology over the last 10 years, that has really helped virtual wine tourism come into birth. For example, this year alone, there were 4.57 billion people, active internet users as of 2020 July. So this is nearly 60% of the global population, which is online. We also have changing demographics. Here in the US, for example, we have aging wine consumers who are not traveling as much. And so they enjoy being a virtual wine tourist from the comfort of their home. And then you have the younger consumers, such as our Generation Z and younger millennials, who are immersed in technology and want to learn about wine via technology. And then, of course, we have global warming. We have all seen the wildfires that have ravaged the vineyards of Australia and California, record heat waves across Europe, and flooding and hurricanes. Global warming is not going anywhere. It's going to be with us for a while until we solve the problem. So because of this, every time the news media flashes these terrifying photos of wineries burning or flooding across the world news, this hurts tourism. And it's difficult for these wine regions to reassure people that it's okay and it's safe to come back. So this is another reason that virtual wine tourism has become more important. And then, of course, we have crisis. Earthquakes, which have occurred in the Chilean wine region, New Zealand, Italy, and California. Pandemics, of course, and terrorism even hurts tourism. If we think about Spain and France and some of the issues that have occurred there over the past few years. So all of these issues come together to hurt wine tourism, hurt tourism in general, and therefore virtual tourism has become more important. So there are four major components of virtual wine tourism, and I will describe each of these. The first is virtual wine tours. So the definition here is the wine tourist tours the winery or the wine region virtually by using their computer, tablet, or smartphone. And the purpose is to entice them to someday want to visit in person, but in the meantime, encourage them to try the wines of the estate by seeking them out on a local retail shop or online. And it's really important to provide links on the winery and regional websites, as well as focus on social media and YouTube to promote this type of wine tourism. And in terms of tours, there are three major types of tours. One of them you are familiar with, because many wineries have been doing this for quite a number of years, and that is in using engaging online videos. It's important to do this now more than ever. These do not have to be terribly expensive to produce. They can actually be more simple, but there are many different types. So the idea here is to allow the virtual visitor to see the entrance to the winery, to step into the tasting room, to walk through the vineyards and the cellars, and see all this in a video. Now, these videos can be fun and whimsical. This one, for example, is Buena Vista Winery in California. It's the oldest commercial winery in California, and it was actually started by a count from Hungary. And so the winery hires a professional actor to dress up like the count and make these videos. And when you visit this winery, you often see the count walking around. So it's very fun to have this type of thing. But on the other hand, you can have classy and very elegant videos like that of Antonori, which is just so beautiful to watch. It's like art watching it and really makes you want to taste the wines of Antonori and visit. So another type of tour is called the 360 photo tour. And these are also equally engaging and sort of a newer technology using a 360 camera. So filmed in 360 format and then edited so that the visitor can go on and click on the links and literally walk through the rooms of this winery, walk into the vineyards, see the cellars down below. This is one that's a winery in Paso Robles, California. And this is a technique that actually doesn't cost that much to do. You just need a good photographer and you can put these together without too much work. And they are really enjoyable to use. You can also use them on a mobile phone. Now, the most advanced type of video tour, we're starting to see more of this now, are we call them 360 video tours. This is where you do need to have a special 360 video camera and have it professionally edited. The tourist needs to purchase these VR glasses. They're quite cheap, $5, $10 online. A lot of young people have these already for gaming. And these are such fun videos to watch. You can watch them without the glasses, but they're not as much enjoyable. Here's one that's in Champagne. And you watch this, it's like being on a roller coaster. You really feel like you are riding on a tractor through the vineyards of Champagne. And here's one that's at Washington State in the United States. And it's the 14 Horse Hands Winery. And you see the horses galloping. It's a very exciting, this type of tour. So the other aspect of videos that are important is just innovative videos that help tourists know that it's safe to come back to your region. So, for example, we have two here. I wish we had time to watch, but maybe you could watch them later. This is a one-minute video of Napa Valley after the 2017 fires, and it was to encourage tourists to come back, that it was safe to come back. And you have these three people dressed up as knights, and they're walking through Napa Valley saying, "It looks safe, come back." And this one here was just recently developed in Sonoma County for COVID, basically saying, "It is safe to come and pick up your wine. We will put it in your car for you. We will wear masks and gloves and have hand sanitizer." And it's a really fun one to watch. It's a spoof on Paul Simon's song, 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover. And it's 50 ways to get your wine now. So this type of innovation, I think, is very important, especially in times of crisis, and especially as part of virtual wine tourism. So then we move on to the second aspect of virtual wine tourism, and these are virtual wine tastings. And this was extremely popular in the United States and still is going on. And virtual tastings allow customers to experience a wine tasting from the comfort of their home. And they use, here she has her laptop. You can use a computer. You can even use your smartphone to participate in these. But you do need the interactive software. I think all of us know about Zoom, WebEx, FaceTime, streaming services on Instagram, and so forth. So there are two major types of virtual wine tastings. The first is called streaming large group tastings. And these are wonderful because thousands of people can participate for free, and they do, by clicking on a link to register for the tasting that is scheduled. And then their emails are collected so the winery or the wine retailer can stay in touch with these consumers. Then visitors can elect to watch the tasting with or without the wine. So they're given a link to purchase the wines. And so many purchase the wines and some just decide to watch. the moderator could be the winemaker or the owner or somebody who's an expert at moderating. And these usually last 30 to 60 minutes, and participants can ask questions via the chat function, sort of like what we're doing today with the Wine to Wine conference. And then the other benefit is it can be taped and the video can be posted on the winery website or fan page for future viewing. So here we have two examples. This is William Christ of Vineyards. He is in Texas and he does these on, Facebook, and he does the streaming videos and he works with his executive chef to pair his wines to food. And so lots of people, especially from his wine club, participate. And then this is wine.com. Wine.com is a very large wine online wine retailer, and they have been very, very successful this year with their virtual wine tastings at home. And again, it's streaming and with the winemakers, with critics. They've even brought in movie stars, and anybody can watch for free, but it's a lot more fun if you purchase the wine. So this has been an extremely successful method. Similar to this is what we call intimate small group tastings. So this is for a smaller group of people, 10 to 30. It's much more interactive in nature and requires advanced planning. So here, consumers must sign up on the winery website, purchase the wine in advance. So here, everybody does have the wine and it's purchased in advance to their house for the session. And these sessions are usually not videotaped. The participants can ask questions in real time of the winemaker. So here is an example from Clos de Vaux Winery in Napa Valley. And you get to come to their website and choose your tasting package and decide which wines you want to taste and select your time. And then you get to meet with the winemaker or a professional hospitality rep who will do the tasting. So the third type of virtual wine tourism then is our events. And these are private wine events that are self-directed by the consumer who decides on the event and then contacts the winery. So here we have a birthday party. You could do a baby shower, girls' night in, anniversary party, team building session, many kinds of events. And then the customer works with the winery, purchase the wine in advance, and sends it out to everybody who's going to be attending the event. They select the date and the time and the technology, and then it's all set up. So there are now a number of new companies, niche companies, that have started offering this service. So this is probably going to continue to grow. The nice thing about this is corporations can also start, businesses can start to get involved and do this for their employees as a fun team building event. And then finally, the last type of virtual wine tourism is sort of in the future, but it's fun to look at these technologies to see what might happen. For example, we see now the possibility in the future of having the wines delivered to your house by a drone. We also have 3D wine printers where you can print your own wine glasses. In the future, we will have digital scent technology where you can actually be able to smell the wine on your phone. Right now, today, we already have very smart wine bottles with augmented reality labels that can talk to you and so forth. But this will only continue, and we might have a lot more different types of videos that we can watch on the wine bottle. And then in the far future, maybe 10 years down the road, we will be able to visit wineries as a holographic image. So I wanted to talk about some results to date from this year. Not all of these are due to virtual wine tourism because it's so relatively new, it's hard to track, but definitely a portion of these results are. So for example, this is from Nelson, and they are tracking online wine sales in the U.S. since COVID. So these numbers are from September 2020. And just to let you know, before COVID, in the United States, only 5% of wine was sold online. Most of it was sold in restaurants and grocery stores. So since COVID, wine sales online have been up 234%. This number is quite amazing, since September of 2020. And just to let you know, wine sales in off-premise establishments like grocery stores and wine shops are up 18% in the U.S. But the online has just exploded. And again, this is not just due to virtual wine tasting, but a good portion of this is due to virtual wine tastings and events. And if you look at this this map here, you can see when COVID first started in March and April, we hit a huge high of 500% growth rates in online. And this was total alcohol. But now we are at 256. But still, this is an amazing number. And of this, 234% is wine. Another piece of data is a study we did at Sonoma State University in September of this year. We interviewed 135 California winery executives, asking them what they're doing to increase revenue during this difficult time. And you may not be surprised to learn that large percentage of them have shifted their wine sales to online through their own website and working in partnership with online retailers. And they are shifting their product to direct to consumer, which is selling wine directly to consumer through their wine club online and allocation, reaching out to customers online and saying, would you like to buy this special wine? And this is really driven revenue during this difficult time. And then finally, the last piece of data I wanted to share is from Sovos, Ship Compliant. This is a group that tracks U.S. online winery sales. And this is through October of this year. So this is shipments directly from wineries to customers. So this is a lot of this is related to virtual wine tourism. And they say they have reached historic highs that they have never seen. 19% increase in volume and 8% increase in value during this time. So as you can see, virtual wine tourism has made an impact. It's at least part of these numbers. So in terms of next steps, here are some things that you can do if you work for a winery or if you are in a wine association, wine region, is first of all, make sure that you start producing some online tours. Create some online video tours. Maybe you already have some, maybe create some more, both serious and fun. Consider doing some filming in 3D. Make sure you post on your winery website. Consider starting a YouTube channel and your social media outlets. Next, if you haven't tried virtual tasting yet, give one a try. You might be surprised at how exciting and fun they are. Schedule them both for the trade and consumer. We've been doing a lot of trade ones. Here's one I thought that we just did with Las Bocas from Gavi. I was participating in this. It was a small trade tasting for wine writers, but a lot are being done for consumers as well. I just did a large consumer tasting on Saturday. We had over 200 wine consumers from across America. We were meeting with a winery in Bordeaux. So that was very fun. And then virtual events. So develop some innovative virtual wine events that can be customized just for your consumers and create some partnerships with online retailers, wine apps. So we have wine.com and Vivino, but there's many others around the world that you can partner with, and restaurants. So here is an example of, these are Alexander Valley wineries, winemakers. This is in Sonoma County, and they're partnering with the local chefs, and they're doing a weekly 1-hour virtual tasting of the wines with the food from the chefs. So this is a fun thing that anybody can do in any place around the world. And then finally, it's really important to enhance your digital marketing, which is a key piece of this. Make sure your search engine optimization is working correctly, social media, e-commerce. Make sure you get your wine on the wine apps and you work with them, such as like Wine Searcher. Make sure they have the data and the stories about your winery and your mobile platforms as well. So thank you very much. I will pause to see if there may be any questions or comments.
I don't know if you will be able to answer to all of them. One very important is that statistically, it looks like around half of the wine tourism go to California, to Napa in the USA. And in other countries, we think that we don't have the same concentration because, you know, we have to learn from California. Italy is the country of wine, country of art and beauty. But I think that California was able to develop the wine tourism much better and to interact with the private consumers. So what do you think about this? Which kind of suggestion do you have for us, Italian wine producer?
Well, the Italian wine producers are doing an excellent job because Italian wine is the number one wine that we import to the United States. But in terms of tourism, I have been to Italy many times and visited the wineries. The one thing I did notice is that you often have to make an appointment. It's not so easy just to stop by and visit. And in a lot of our wineries in the United States, Oregon, Washington, New York, Texas, there's lots of wineries all over the United States. There's actually more outside of California now than in. A lot of these wineries, you can just, this is before COVID, you can stop by without an appointment. So, you know, I don't know if this is possible for Italy to look at it creating more opportunities opportunities for a tourist to just, you know, wander by. I remember one time I was in Tuscany with my mother and we wanted to go wine tasting. We couldn't find any wineries that were open without an appointment. So that's one possibility. Or even, you know, I know you have in the towns places where there's a wine center and people can go there to taste the wine. But with virtual tourism now, you can start reaching out to people with some great videos. And as I mentioned, try to do some more virtual tastings with consumers.
So another question is, virtual wine tourism have a certain impact in terms of cost. Small wineries can afford this kind of cost. How expensive it can be for a small winery to organize the virtual wine tourism?
Oh, you know, that's actually one of the great things about virtual wine tourism is it's actually not that expensive, especially you don't have to do a professional video. You can use your smartphone and go film and create a video. Oftentimes, tourists like things that are authentic. Consider doing a YouTube channel, which doesn't cost that much, and then post those, link those to your website. So I think videos are a great way to get started. Another thing you can do is, it's very important, and I don't know how this is being done in Italy, but to capture the customer's email information. So one of the things that California does very well is when people come to visit, they say, please drop your card in this bowl. So you have your email, or please sign up for our email list, so that this way the winery can email the customer and invite them to a virtual tasting. And we also have wine clubs, which are very popular. And so people will sign up for the wine club and they give the credit card to the winery and they can do this online. And then the winery ships them wine every 3 or 4 months. And so they become a member of this club and they get benefits. They get discounts. When they visit, they can taste for free. So these are ways, we call this CRM, customer relationship management, database management, data analytics. All of this is super important now for virtual wine tourism. And it's important to start capturing the customer data.
I think we can have another question. Is virtual wine tourism for you a more branding marketing solution, and how it can boost wine sales and open up new markets?
Yeah, definitely it's a branding method. It creates brand awareness, so consumers find out about you. Like, for example, TikTok. I know there's a session on TikTok. TikTok is so hot with young consumers, and I teach 21-year-olds. They're telling me, I saw this winery put a video on TikTok, and they went out and bought their wine. So yes, so brand awareness is a big piece of this. So put your videos on TikTok too. Videos are super important now. The growth is going to be 70% videos. So it creates brand awareness for new consumers who may not have ever heard of you before. And also it depends on who your consumer is. Are you targeting young consumers? Are you targeting luxury, high-end consumers? You know, like Antonori has this beautiful video for luxury consumers. Somebody else might have a great video for TikTok consumers. So brand awareness for sure. The other key part, though, is to sell wine, you need to drive people to your website and have a way to sell wine from your website or work with an online wine retailer to make sure that that they can find your wine online and purchase it.
My feeling is that we don't have to overload our customer, our people that like our wine with too many information. My feeling is that we have to show them that we are real thing and to share what we do in the vineyard and with what we do in the winery. This, I think, is a kind of quality in terms of communication. Do you agree with this?
Yes. Tell your story. Tell the story of the winery. What is unique about your vineyard, your wine, your story? Tell the story. That's what people want to hear.
The famous storytelling. Anyway, thank you very much, Lisa. I think we are running out of time. I really appreciate your presentation, and I'm sure that it was very important to many other wine producers like me. And we love virtual wine tourism, but we hope that very soon we will go back to the reality.
Me too. Thank you, Marilisa, for your excellent moderation. And thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Listen to the Italian Wine Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We're on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Himalaya FM, and more. Don't forget to subscribe and rate the show. If you enjoy listening, please consider donating through italianwinepodcast.com. Any amount helps cover equipment, production, and publication costs. Until next time, cin cin.